be back in church this morning. We thank you. Just like Brother John said, thank you for giving us this day. Lord, we thank you for being in control of our lives, blessing us, leading and guiding us. Help us make the right decisions. And Lord, we want to do everything for your glory. I know we fall short, but Lord, with your help, we can conquer all. Time is short. We need to take advantage of the time that we have. Would you help us use it wisely? And Lord, we just can't thank you for all your blessings that you give us daily, hours, every minute. You're protecting us. Most of the time, we don't even know what dangers you keep away from us. But we do thank you for protecting us from that old devil. Help us stand strong and be faithful. All these things we thank you for, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll begin with verse number 12. And verse number 12 reads, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." The Bible tells us we're to put on something. Okay. It says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." First of all, I want to cover that. Holy. Holy is spiritually pure, physically pure, morally blameless, and it's dedicated or devoted to the service of God. That's what a definition of holy is. And you can get more information on that from running some cross-references, Romans chapter 11 and verse 16. Romans 11 and 16. If you get there before I do, read it, please.
"For it is the first fruit to be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches."
All right, talking about being in Christ, and that's how we're to be. We're to be holy. Now, Romans 12:1, "I beseech you, therefore." Again, pay attention to words. You see that word, therefore. Therefore and wherefore. We'll cover that in a little more detail. But I emphasize, words are important, so pay attention to them. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Not asking us to do anything hard or unordinary, but what's reasonable for us. Present your bodies. That's our lifestyle, how we live, what we do, what we look at, how we talk. So that's what God's saying. Present your bodies, a living sacrifice. And then Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Holy, we're talking about holy. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Again, if you get there before I do, just read it out.
"According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love."
Do you realize how important that is? He chose us. Once we got saved, he chose us before the foundations of the world. That's his love for us. And he showed it by coming down as man, going to the cross. For you as an individual and for me as an individual. Chapter 2 and verse 21. Same book, Ephesians 2:21. "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Now that building is you and I, as you read Scripture and you put it together. We're part of the body of Christ. That's a building he's talking about. And that'll give you an idea about holiness. There's many more scriptures that you can reference with those too. And then he says, beloved of God. That's you, that's I that are born again. Beloved of God. And that's used exclusively of divine and Christian love. It's an affection begotten in the spiritual life when we get born again. And some references for that is Romans 1:7. It talks about being beloved of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Colossians, where we are, 3:12. And there's a number of other verses also. So we're to be holy because we're beloved of God. Holy and beloved. So that should be part of our lifestyle. Now it says, put on. Put on is to be clothed with the new nature, which must be put on, and it manifests the righteousness and true holiness. And so there's something we're to do, we're to put on. It's like in the winter time, you put on a jacket, a sweatshirt, heavy clothing. And so that's what it's talking about. The new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and holiness. This is the spirit and nature of God in the renewed man. And you read that in Ephesians 4. We'll get there later. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8. We'll look at those verses later. But now we're to put on. What are we to put on? There's some things that we're to put on. You'll hear preachers and teachers say, you put on the new man, put on righteousness. But there's other things also. We're to put on Christ, first of all, Romans 13 and verse 14. We're to put on the armor of light, Romans 13, 12. We're to shine in this dark world as a believer, as a Christian. We're to stand out. For the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, put on the new man, Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. This is the nature, the spirit and nature of God in the renewed man. We're to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, 11 and 13. And if you notice in those verses, we put on the armor. But what are we to do? We're to stand. We're not told to fight in those passages. The Lord does the fighting for us. We put on the armor and we're to stand. And we're to live the life that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to put on bowels of mercy, which is in this verse, and we'll cover it. We're to put on kindness, humility, meekness, charity. Which is down in verse 14. The breastplate of faith and love in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And the hope of salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Now that's not a hope, oh, I hope I'm saved, I hope the Lord will take me. It's an assurance that we're talking about. It's a hope that you know is coming to pass when that time comes. And then we see the next word in there is therefore. Now, as you know, when we come to this word, as I said, wherefore or therefore, you better see what it's there for. Now, verse 1, we'll do a quick review of the verses leading up to this verse to find out why it says, put on therefore. Therefore, you go back and check the verses prior to it. And verse 1, we see that having been raised with Christ, Jesus, we're to put on new life in him. We are to seek those things above that come from him out of glory. So we're to seek those things, verse 1. Verses 2, 3, and 4, what are we to do? We're to set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Our love should be towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards His Word, not towards the things of the world. That doesn't mean that you exclude your family. You're okay, I got to love the Lord. You have responsibilities according to the Word of God. We're to love our families, take care of them. So don't get out on the extreme when it comes to these things. And then, because we are dead to sin and our lives are hid with Christ in God, that's why we're to seek the things above and not the things on the earth. Jesus, who is our life, will return and will appear. We will appear with Him in glory. Again, when I talk about His return, unless I'm mentioning the second coming for Him to come down and bring judgment, the tribulation, I'm talking about what we call the rapture, the calling out. So don't confuse those things when I say that. Therefore, because of all this, because of those things, verses 1 through 10, 11, we mortify and kill the deeds of our sinful flesh, which are expressed. How are they expressed? In sin in our life, sexual sin, anger, malice, blasphemy, lying, filthy speech. That's what we're to avoid in this life. And then verse 10, we are to put on the new man who is patterned after the image of the indwelling Jesus, and the image of Him is constantly being renewed. The Bible says He's renewed after the pattern of our Creator, God Almighty. And then verse 11, all divisions, race, gender, ethnicity, religious sect are erased in Him if you're saved, because He is the Savior of all. I mentioned it last week. It doesn't matter. We attend a Baptist church, hopefully, because it's a local ministry that uplifts the Word of God and sticks to the Bible doctrines, not because it's a Baptist church or a Methodist church, but it's one that sticks to the Word of God and uplifts the Word of God. Now, going back to verse 12, it reads the next part, as the elect of God. Now, in Scripture, there's four elects. Christ. Christ is an elect. Isaiah 42 and verse 1. That's first reference. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 is a second reference for Christ being the elect. And then Christians, those that are born again, you are elect. Romans 8:33, here in Colossians 3:12, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 is another reference for the Christian being elect. And Israel is God's elect, Isaiah 45 and verse 4, Isaiah 65 and verse 9. And these are important that you know, because when you start confusing the elect, you're going to confuse and mix up the Christian with the Jew, with Israel. Mark 13:22 and 27, 1 Peter 1:2, all deal with Israel being the elect. And then one other place you find 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 21, about an angel or angels being elect. Now, anyone chosen of God, what does elect mean? Anyone chosen of God at any time, whether Jew or Gentile, is the elect of God. In Romans chapter 9 through chapters 11, deals with that issue. and the cross references you can run there. And all men are called to become God's elect or chosen ones, and can be, if they will, to choose God. So a lost person can become God's elect if he gets born again, is what that's saying. And you've got references, and you know many of those when you're dealing with people. Now, having come to new life in Christ, we not only have the obligation to no longer continue to do evil, to sin in our lives, but also to do good. It's the two sides of one coin. You no longer evil, but we all serve the Lord and to do good. Now, because we are the elect of God, holy and beloved of Him, we are chosen. Whether you know it or not, you're a chosen vessel. John 15, verse 16, and John 15, 19. You're elect, we covered that. We are sanctified. Sanctified is to be set apart. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. You are, if you're saved, you're a peculiar treasure to God. Exodus 19 and verse 5. And you are, if you're saved, you're part of the jewels of God. Malachi 3:17. And can you imagine what God thinks of us? He's calling us jewels. We're a peculiar treasure. We need to live like God shows us what we are. Now, there's, you know, we don't need to be ashamed of anything in this life if we're living right, doing right, being right, because we are sons of the living God. You are a son of God. I am a son of God if you're born again. He dwells within us and expresses His life in and through us if we allow Him to do just that. And you know the verse on that, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians. And look at verse number 20. And you hear this a lot from me because it's so important. I am crucified with Christ. You can put your name in there. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. A very important verse. Memorize that if you don't have it memorized already, because He should be living His life in and through us as we yield to Him. And how do we know what He wants from us? It goes back to knowing the Word of God, getting into the Word of God. So it's important that we allow Him to live His life in and through us. And then it says next in verse 12, Colossians 3 and verse 12, it says, bowels of mercy. Now, you hear that term and you think, bowels, that's your gut area. That's the insides there. You may think it's a rather uncouth statement, but when it was written, again, in the Greek language, the New Testament, there was no word when they translated it to express the depths that the understanding and compassion could reach. So they referred to it, again, here's another $10,000 word for you, visceral, relating to the inward feelings rather than the intellect. So it's inward, not the intellect. Because if you go just by your intellect, you're going to miss out on a lot of things. Our guts, the inward tender mercies. And so that's what it's expressing. So Jesus said that living waters of his spirit would flow forth from our bellies in John 4 and verse 10 and John 7 and 38. So what's that living waters? It's the word of God to lost people. It's the word of God to comfort other Christians that are going through things. So it's important that we are able to deal with the lost. It's important to be able to deal with other believers that are going through trials, tribulations, problems. And when we're not moved to the plight where the others, you know, whether it's a complaint, emotional, physical problem in their life, we can safely say that we don't have that compassion for them. Our concern should be for the brethren, okay? And if we don't have a concern for the brethren, we need to check ourselves out. James 2 and verse 16 says, "And one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warm and filled. Notwithstanding, we give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth the profit?" A brother or sister comes to you with a need. Now, it's talking here physically, but it can be spiritually. They come to you with a need because they look up to you, or they know that you can provide whatever it is that they need. And you turn them away and you say, well, go home and rest and sleep about it, pray about it. And that's what this is talking about, turning them away without helping them. You don't have those bowels of compassion for brethren. 1 John 3:17 says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have a need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" And in other words, how's God shown forth in your life to a brother or sister in Christ when they have a need and you can provide that need? So we need to be careful how we deal with others, especially believers. Now, some say that our obligation for mercy is only towards those in the church, which is not totally true. But as the opportunity presents itself, we are obligated to do good unto all men, the Bible says, especially those of the household of God. Galatians 6:10. Always use scripture to back up what you're trying to promote or show what's in the Word of God. Galatians 6:10. "As ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, be careful with this, because many Christians get caught up with, well, I got to help everybody, I got to help the poor, and they'll go out of their way to give to some organization, or you'll see a guy alongs, and it's happened to probably all of us, at a gas station in my travels, a guy come up to me and says, I need money to get some gas so I can get home. And I say, where do you live? And he says, 40 miles down the road. And he's at the pump. I says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put some gas in your car. I won't give cash. Because when you give somebody cash, you never know what it's going for.
got any money. I just need something to eat, like a sandwich. So I didn't tell him so. I go in and order a sandwich. I come out there and give it to him. The guys with him laughing at him because that wasn't what he really asked for.
Yeah, and normally you can tell. You can tell if someone's playing, you know, unless they're real good. Now, some guys are really good, but some be careful.
Some of those folks you see over and over and over and over, too,
yeah.
The same story.
Yeah. I told Nora, I says, I should get a piece of cardboard and put need help. and put on some old clothes and stand by one of the exits there. See how much I make in a day.
Put it on normal.
Most people would throw things at me. You know, here's part of my hamburg.
Well, John, you know, you see a lot of young folks, too.
Yeah.
That kind of makes you kind of back off a little bit when they're young and they're able to stand out there and walk
right.
around and you think, well, there's something this person could be doing.
Yeah, you can sweep a floor, you can wash a window.
Yeah.
And Buck, the missionary down in South America, I may have told you before, when he was in Bible school, now Buck's a great guy. he's a great guy. He would go around, he'd have a bucket, a literal bucket, and some rags and sponges, and he'd go door to door asking if he could wash their windows or do anything so he could earn money to stay in Bible school to pay his rent and everything. And the guy's real. And he's on the field and just amazed. He came, I was at the church, and he came and knocked on the door rather than just walk in. He says, can I get a drink of water? Buck, what are you doing? You know where the fountain is. You go to church here, you go to Bible school, go in, get it. But that's just how he is, and you don't mind helping someone like that. So help those that are need help and wherever it was. So as mercies come from our innermost being, our compassion, our desires to do right and be right and to help others, we also demonstrate the kindness, the humbleness of mind, and meekness. There's also long-suffering, which can tax you, your endurance of putting up with people. And you know, you don't want to put up with people that are really high-pressure, what in the work field would be a high-pressure salesman. You know, they're going to push and push and push. Look, get out of here before you have an accident. And be careful of that, because there are people out there that'll and save people too, I'm talking about, that'll just push and push. Hey, you can help me, you're working, you can do this. The Bible says to help a brother and so forth. They'll take advantage of you, so be careful of that. Remember the verse, Galatians 2:20. And now, verse 13, Colossians 3 and verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even if a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. One of the hardest things to do is when somebody has done you wrong, to really forgive them. I'll forgive them, but I won't forget it. You didn't forgive them. You have that bitterness still within you. And it's hard sometimes. I understand that. Not to have that bitterness and that want to get back at them. I'll forgive you, but I'm going to pray that God gets you. for what you did to me. And it focuses on me. Me. Get off of me. And how would Christ handle it? Same way he went to the cross, he forgave me for all that I did and still doing and will do till I'm called out of here one way or the other. So we need to consider that when we're angry. So forbearing is a verb. To not do or say something that you could do or say, especially when it shows self-control or consideration for the feelings of others. I forbear to criticize their efforts, though criticism is well deserved. And some people need that. But you better watch your attitude on how you deal with these situations, because you'll get it back. You'll get it back. Christ is our example in forgiving one another, and we are to forbear and forgive one another. Probably the best example is a husband and wife. One will say something to the other, and you know it'll be cutting, although it may not be meant to be that way. But it is, and then you want to get back, and yeah, well, what about, and then it starts, and then it starts. And then, as I said last week, the barbarian comes out in the female instincts, and you better run, guys. And you start laughing, and you forget all about it. But yeah, be careful how you deal with different situations. And Jesus said that if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will I forgive you your trespasses. In Mark and Matthew. Now, be careful with that, because that is dealing with the Jewish nation, not with the Christians. We're forgiven. So don't be able to rightly divide the word. But the illustration, the example is there. You know, forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. To commit a transgression or an offense, to transgress, to offend, possibly to sin. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." So there's our example. And we'll finish up there. So any of you that are upset with me, angry with me, want to get back at me, you better forgive me and forget it. Otherwise, God's going to get you. All right, we'll finish there. Wyndham, how about praying for us? Amen. Thank you all.